What we're going to do is introduce and read and refer some bills so that we can get those heard. We're also going to read some standing committee reports so that we can get all of the bills onto the list so that they can be heard today. We've got quite a lot of budget amendments for tomorrow already. So we're trying to get through all of these bills as best we can. Your cooperation, of course, will be appreciated. We're at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 9.
House Bill Number 9.
File 9, I'm sorry.
Senate File Number 9 is presented by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File Number 9 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File Number 29 from the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 29 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 84.
Senate File Number 84 from Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations and child support.
Senate File Number 84 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4. Senate File 4 from the Education Department.
Senate File 4 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our first reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance.
Senate File Number 4 is referred to Committee Number 4, for Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5 from the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to teachers.
Senate File 5 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 3.
Senate File Number 3 from School Facilities Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school facilities.
Senate File Number 3 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 42.
Senate File 42 from Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to electrical licensing.
Senate File 42 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56 from Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state engineer.
Senate File 56 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45 from the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 45 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 48.
Senate File 48 from the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund Board.
Senate File 48 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74 from Senator Landon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to unemployment compensation.
Senate File Number 74 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17 from the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Senate File 17 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 21.
Senate File 21 from Corporations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Senate File 21 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16 from the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Senate File 16 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61 from the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
Senate File 61 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59.
Senate File 59 from the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to highway signage.
Senate File 59 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 58.
Senate File 58 from Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the governor's authority.
Senate File 58 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 from Senator Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to require the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to respect the privacy of Wyoming.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76.
Senate File 76 from the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to unemployment compensation.
Senate File 76 is referred to Committee 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81 from Senator Christensen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and employment.
Senate File 81 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next point of consideration is Senate File 64.
Senate File 64 from the Labor Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health.
Senate File 64 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67 from the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administrative procedure.
Senate File 67 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68 from the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the general revision of laws.
Senate File 68 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. The last bill for our consideration is Senate File 71.
Senate File 71 from the Management Audit.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 71 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. We are now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 179, Privacy and Education, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Watt. Those who voted no, Representative Connolly and Walter, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 3, Pledge of Allegiance-Commemoration, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, Watt. One no vote, Representative Connolly, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 95, Diabetes Care Planning, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 35, Select Committee on the Transfer of Public Land, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Moniz, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 143, Health Information Study, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson. One no vote, Representative Burkhart, signed by Representative Moniz, Vice Chairman.
With that order of business of consideration of bills on general file, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
We're going to work off the list we have this morning until the new one comes out. It's going to be out in 5 or 10 minutes. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Crone.
Now, I did visit with the good majority whip earlier, and he was concerned that I might break the record for general file. And I'm sure that's not the case, since we did three bills in an hour beforehand. So your record's safe, Mr. Whip, your record's safe. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 13 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code, modifying filing requirements to allow for electronic filings of effective financing statements and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 13, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes. No, noes, and signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 13 do pass. There are no amendments, and I'd like to defer the explanation of the bill over to Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 13, UCC, liens electronic filing. The key phrase in understanding this bill comes in the title, what is an effective financing statement? There are 2,600 to 2,700 effective financing statements on record in the Secretary of State's office, and they keep records of loans to agriculture producers. And the office is in the process of closing down the mainframe that now keeps these records. They want to develop a new, more sophisticated tracking system for an effective financing statement module. So in the new system, for instance, a rancher would take his cattle to the sale barn, the rancher being the debtor in this case, the sale barn being the registrant, and he might sell them for $100,000. So when the sale barn goes to make out the check to see who gets the $100,000, they go online, tap into the new system, and find out that there's actually a lien on $90,000 of this check, so they know how to issue the proceeds appropriately. The lender obviously likes it because his position is afforded more security. The debtor has a unique ID number so that his identity is protected in this process, and also benefits from a termination notice that when the lien is finally taken care of, it has to be reported promptly by the lender. So the Secretary of State's office has asked for another 16 months to get this operation in place. The $220,000 that it's going to cost has been taken care of in an estimate of administrative impact. So I stand for questions, or seeing none, ask for a question.
Seeing no further debate and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 13 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 13 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for your consideration is House Bill number 14. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 14 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to business entities, repealing filing fees for statements of change of registered agent or registered office, increasing fee for certificates of authority, providing for a filing fee for conversions, repealing a duplicative provision for penalties for false filings, providing for update of registered agent information for limited liability partnerships, providing authority to do business for failure to update registered agent information, limiting information required for the articles of continuance by a foreign organization, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 14, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, no, or 0 noes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 14 do pass. There are no amendments, and I defer to the explanation to our good Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vice Chairman Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And depending upon if you have any questions or not, we'll find out how much I learned or did not learn in law school. So the first part, this is just a cleanup bill for business entities. Our current statutes have some perverse incentives that the bill is trying to alleviate. So if you look to page 2, that is the 17-19-122 is the Nonprofit Act. Currently, foreign, which means out of state, when we're talking about foreign companies underneath this statute, by changing the filing fee from $10 to $25, we'll make that consistent with Wyoming in-state filing fees. So make the out-of-state people pay the same as the in-state people. The $75, currently businesses don't want to pay the $100 filing fee. So instead they pay the $25 filing fee, and then they convert it over with $3. So instead we're just going to make it consistent with the out-of-state and the in-state and get rid of that perverse incentive. Moving on to the next page. So on page 3, we're making that consistent with the Business Partnership Act, that rewording. We're also changing, going from the notice, going by first class. It will be now going by certified, which was a request of the Secretary of State's office. On the next page, page 4, that deals with LLCs, and we're making that consistent with the Profit Corporations Act to eliminate the inconsistencies between the different filings of the organizations. On page 5, the amendment there is allowing that any person with authority from the for the LLC, any person with authority may sign, as opposed to making it the manager or managers. We're making it anybody with authority for the LLC may sign. And on the last page, page 6, when the articles of domestication are filed, this allows for any additional information to be included that is allowed when the articles of organization are filled. You also notice there's a bunch of repealers in there. The repealers deal with that $3 filing fee. They also deal with making the amendment consistent throughout, and they also deal with the articles of domestication. Essentially, it's just a cleanup bill. The Secretary of State's office has been working with the Corporations Committee for a few years, and I will stand for any questions.
Seeing no further debate and advice, Chairman Green passed his business law class at the university. Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 14 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 14 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 15. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 15 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to business entities providing authority for a Secretary of State to refuse filings, providing for payment of fees and penalties, providing for administrative dissolution for failure to pay penalties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 15, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the House, the Committee of the Whole, rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 15 do pass. There are no amendments, and I defer to Representative Green for explanation of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Vice Chairman Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this bill is being brought to help the Secretary of State office shut down abuse that is happening when they bring an action against a commercial registered agent that is a business entity. And, of course, as everybody in here knows, every business, whether it be a corporation, LLC, et cetera, must have a registered agent, someone physically present in Wyoming, to accept and maintain certain records on the site. A commercial registered agent is a registered agent that represents 10 or more business entities. We have approximately 500 commercial registered agents in the state of Wyoming. The Secretary of State's office has had 2 instances in which they've issued administrative orders against commercial registered agents who are also business entities. They've gone to hearing, the Secretary of State's office has prevailed, and then they've assessed a fine, and then that commercial registered agent has walked away. And they can no longer serve as a commercial registered agent. However, they still exist as a business entity. They still form entities in the state, and then they assign those entities to a new registered agent. So this bill is going to give the Secretary of State's office the authority to dissolve the business entity side of the commercial registered agent if they fail to pay the penalty assessed. It also provides the Secretary of State's office the authority to refuse filings for business entities that have outstanding penalties and fines. Essentially, this bill is one-issue bill. It just happens that it's affected many different parts of the business entity statute, so you're going to see the same language several times throughout the bill, and I will walk you through the bill. Okay, so the first part has to do with the administration and government, the Secretary of State's office. Any document delivered must have the correct fee, and any past due penalties or fees The Secretary of State may refuse to file if they have not paid those past dues and those past fees. And that's the big major change that's taking place in this bill that you're going to see throughout. The next part on line 14, that has to do with the Limited Partnership Act. And then the line 24, those are the actions against the registered agents, as you see. On line 19, that has to do with the Profit Act. Moving on to the next page, on page 3, line 4, that has to do with the Profit Corporation Act. Line 9 has to do with the added language to include penalties. On line 14, that's the Profit Corporation Act. Lines 23 and 24, those are actions against a registered agent. Moving on to the next page. On page 4, line 2, that has to do with the Foreign Profit Corporation. Lines 9 and 10, the actions against a registered agent. Lines 12, that would be the Nonprofit Act. Lines 22, nonprofit. Lines on page 5, lines 10 and 11, those would be the actions against a registered agent. Continuing on page 5, line 13 would be the foreign nonprofit. And if you go to page 6, that would be the registered limited liability partnerships. Lines 16 and 17, again, would be the actions against a registered agent. As you go on to page 7, that's still the registered limited liability partnerships. And that's part J, the requirements to make sure everything's filed and filed correctly, and also those fees that were due, the previous dues that were due. On page 7, line 17, 18, the foreign registered limited liability partnership portion. As you go to page 8, the Registered Agent Act itself, and that explains the time period for the 60 days. So essentially, if they go receive a get the order, the people have 60 days to then pay the money that's due, and if they pay within those 60 days, then this act does not become enforceable against them. And that's where it's stipulated about the 60 days after the hearing. On page 8, the Limited Liability Corporations Act. Page 9 would be the Foreign Limited Liabilities Corporation Act. Essentially, that is the bill, the one major issue we're trying to take care of regarding those business entities, those commercial registered agents who are delinquent in their fees. I'll stand for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 15 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 15 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution number 5. The clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 5, as submitted by Representative Nicholas. A joint resolution to the United States Secretary of the Interior, the Director of the National Park Service, and to the Superintendent of Grand Teton National Park relating to the maintenance of the Moose Wilson Road. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 5, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Dave Swanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation that House Joint Resolution number 5 do pass. And for explanation of the bill, I'll turn it over to the fine representative in the land of the mountains.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Petrov.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to belabor the explanation because you all heard the issue at introduction, but I will just say that this is what the resolution process is for. So we send out a lot of resolutions that we know aren't going to be heard or read. This one actually does have a chance of being heard, read, and having an impact on the process. And all we're trying to say is that people in communities that are adjacent to federal lands should have a strong say about preserving access to those lands. And they should have a say in how the roads and access points are used. And if a community is willing to provide all the financing for a project, that project should be seriously considered. and that people access shouldn't be limited because of unsubstantiated concerns about grizzly bear habitat. Grizzly bears have thrived in this area despite 120 years of two-way traffic. At the top of page 3, we are clear that we are not asking for any more burden on the federal budget. And with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Question, I'm being called. All those in favor of Chairman Zwanzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 5 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Joint Resolution 5 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 145 is presented by Representative Madden, an act relating to use tax, specifying that a taxable event occurs for the person making first use of taxable services in the state and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 145, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 145 do pass, and I will further provide a brief explanation of the bill.
Chairman Madden, take your time.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been around here very long, you know that almost every year we have tweaks that go into our excise tax bill that's all tied to the streamlined sales tax concept that we engage in. And the streamlined sales tax is a consortium of states that agree to, you know, provide some rhyme and reason to sourcing laws when it comes to where a taxable event occurs. And the issue this particular time is sourcing in the cases. We're just talking about the use tax here within our overall excise tax code. And it's those instances where services to repair, alter, or improve tangible personal property is sold, and where the sourcing or where the point, the taxable point is in that transaction. And you'll see that when we look at 3916.103, it says persons making first use of taxable services, that is a taxable event. And then it has conforming language under Romanet 2, or where the first use of service occurs on this state, and that's on line 21 and 22. And then to make it consistent in the basis of the tax in paragraph B, services to repair, alter, improve property or where the first use of the service occurs in the state. Where this comes up, ladies and gentlemen, is if you live in one state and you got a product that you're going to get repaired and it happens to be in the other state. And the question is, where does a taxable event occur? At the place where the service was performed on the product, or where first use was made of the product, okay? And all this, the uniform or the streamlined sales tax amendment that you see in front of you says that the taxable event occurs where the first use occurs, okay? And you can see what kind of havoc that would have if one state had a policy or a taxable event would occur where the service was performed, and the other state next to it had a policy that the taxable event happened where it was first used. Depending on which direction you're going, it'd either be taxed double or it'd be taxed not at all. And so that's the reason for it. And I'm any time we have these bills or tweaks, amendments to our sales tax when it comes to the streamlined sales tax, is to make it uniform with other states. And, of course, it's got to be uniform with other states, like I've described with that example. So they have boilerplate language, I call it, that each state adopts and these little tweaks come about every now and then. So anyway, that is the bill. It's, like I say, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's either got to be passed, and or if it doesn't pass, we're not in good standing with the Streamlined Sales Tax Consortium, and we do earn millions of dollars from our participation in that. So I will answer any questions, but if there are no questions, I would call for the question.
Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 145 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Oh, all those opposed, no. Motion carries. House Bill 145 passes the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Lockhart, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have two outstanding women from Casper, and that's out of a whole bunch of outstanding women from Casper. But if you look to your right, my left, and I'll ask them to stand, our two ladies have just been recognized and taken to lunch by the governor's wife, and they do outstanding child care providing services. And they've done it for a number of years. Sure, Tommy, I'd like you to raise your hand so they can recognize you. It says she's been in that business for 25 years, so you know she started very young. Jennifer Corson, also from Casper, and she's enthusiastic and dedicated to that in-home care of children. Let's give them a hand for the job they do. And each of you got a recognition of the schedule they're on and the things that they've done in Casper. Thank you for being down there with us.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 127. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 127 is introduced by Representative Haverson, an act relating to juvenile justice, providing for disclosure of information by juvenile probation officers to law enforcement, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 127, reports back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. There were 6 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused, and signed by Representative Gingrich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Gingrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise support it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 127 do pass. I turn over the explanation to the good legislator from Star Valley.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring this bill at the request of the Department of Family Services. We are amending 14-6-306 to include law enforcement. As law enforcement is an important partner in probation cases and should be receiving juvenile probation information. Further, the Juvenile Justice Act confidentiality of records statute provides an exception for the sharing of information with law enforcement. I urge your favorable consideration.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 127 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 127 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 135. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 135 is introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to the Small Business Investment Credit Program, increasing the maximum number of employees for a qualified business, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 135, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 5 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excuse. Signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move it when the Committee of the Whole rises to report. It do so with the recommendation that Bill number 135 do pass. And I'll leave the explanation up to the sponsor from District 56.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 135 tweaks the Small Business Investment Credit Act that we passed in 2010. I just a really quick background on that, because I know a number of members weren't here when it passed. And really, at that time, we were doing a lot for recruiting businesses and bringing businesses to the state, but there was a great deal of support for doing something for Wyoming companies and helping Wyoming companies. And this was one of the solutions to that problem. And what what we see around our state with a number of Wyoming companies is a problem with that gap financing between startup and when they're actually able to go to a bank with collateral that they need to get bank financing. And that interim financing, that sort of venture capital financing, is hard to come by in the state. And so what this bill did is it created an incentive for private companies to come in and invest in Wyoming companies and get them to the point that they could get that bankable financing. And it did so by setting up a mechanism so that private investment firms could apply for future premium tax credits, and then that would fund the capital fund that would be utilized to invest in Wyoming companies. And so we authorized up to a $30 million fund to be created by these private companies. To date, $25 million has been invested by private investment firms in establishing the Small Business Investment Credit Program. The important thing to remember is this is a program for Wyoming businesses, and the requirements behind it: they must be headquartered in Wyoming, it must be an independently owned or operated company, so we're not talking about public companies, they have to have at least 60% of their employees in the state of Wyoming, they evaluate them for strength of management, team, growth opportunities, and those sorts of things. The typical investment size under this program is $250,000 to $3 million or so, and they typically have a 2 to 4 year maturity on the loans made. So $25 million has been raised so far. $6 million has been invested in 10 different Wyoming businesses, ranging from one employee to 80 employees. So this bill expands the one other requirement, which is that the employees must be under 100, under 100 employees to, they must have under 250 employees. And the reason for doing that is that specifically there have been a couple of the companies that investments have been made in, they have grown dramatically. It's done just what it's supposed to do. They still aren't to the point of bank financing, but they remain an opportunity to grow Wyoming businesses and grow Wyoming jobs. But because they've sort of crossed that arbitrary threshold of 100, they're no longer eligible for the program. And so what this does is it expands that number so that we can continue to look at those businesses, and it makes more Wyoming businesses eligible so that, you know, if you have a chance for a big success, you know, a bigger company growing even bigger and expanding those jobs, that we can look at that. It does not change the due diligence requirements. It does not change any of the other requirements. It's simply that one change of the number of employees. So that's the change. That's the program. I think it's a good step in ensuring that we continue to grow Wyoming companies, and I'd take any questions that folks may have.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the good majority whip, I've got a question about the raise in the number of employees. I mean, I think we can all agree that 100 employees is a small business and that this program was designed for small businesses. But you're upping the number of employees by 250%. And so I'm curious about actual numbers in the state of Wyoming in terms of how many businesses do we have that have between that 100 and 249 that would now qualify.
Majority Whip, would you like to take that now, or would you?
Sure, and I can't give you. I'll try to track down an exact number for you. Certainly, Wyoming is a state built on small businesses, and so the vast majorities are smaller, and we would anticipate that this program would continue. The vast majority of these investments would be companies under 100, because that's the vast number of our employers in the state. So what you are talking is opening this up to a relatively smaller number of employers, but that can get really a bigger bang for these investment dollars that we're looking at putting into private companies in Wyoming.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of questions on this program, and forgive me, it's a complex program, to say the least. In my understanding of these tax credits that the state's foregoing to use for investment to private companies or individuals, of that we have a reversion on some of those funds that are triggered. If they're not spent or used, can you speak to what those triggers are? One, and then a second question on this, are we expanding this from 100 employees, and I don't disagree that 100's an arbitrary number, but are we expanding this from 100 employees to 250 or whatever the bill says for the purpose of going back and giving more in more investment, acquiring more equity in companies that have already used this program?
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Chairman, on the triggers on the reversions, I can get that. I don't have that off the top of my head. But, I mean, the thing to remember also is that the reason we did this is to leverage additional private dollars. So that $30 million that we authorized is the leverage to bring in tens of millions of dollars above that, really, in investment. With respect to the second question, there certainly could be companies, and I think there probably are, that, and I know of at least one in particular that has grown beyond. They received an investment when they were, 75 employees or so, and they've now grown beyond 100, and they are ready to continue expanding, but ineligible for the program. But that's certainly not the sole reason. The reason is to bring in additional Wyoming employers, Wyoming companies, and make them eligible for the program. And I would just say, I mean, as 100 employees is an arbitrary line, 250 is an arbitrary line. So, if this body felt, no, we don't want to make that jump that quick, then, we can have that discussion and we can certainly move it down, because it's 250 is just another arbitrary number.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had occasion to see this program in business, and I've seen small oil field service companies jump from just a small mom-and-pop shop into having over 200 employees. This is a great program, and it works very, very well. But this arbitrary limit causes some problems. If you were to, for example, develop a restaurant, a fairly large restaurant, you may have 60 or 70 employees on your payroll with your wait staff and your cooks and your dishwashers. If you want to expand to another restaurant, you're over the limit. And so those are the situations where the arbitrary 100 that we picked may have caused some problems for us. And so I think this is an excellent program. It's working very, very well. And I think that this 250 expansion may give us some better opportunity for economic development throughout the state.
Any further discussion? Vice Chair Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The investment credit for 100 employees, to me, 100 workers sounds pretty big, and in expanding to 200 is really a big company. How many companies do we have, as one of the previous speakers asked, how many companies do we have that are in this category? And I don't know if I want to take the time, but I wouldn't mind knowing what the business credit amounts to, how much money, mentioned $30 million we have in it that's given. Maybe that's a subject for another time, but I'm just concerned. 100 sounds like a pretty large number, but as the good chair just brought up, if you're going to expand, you could get over that relatively quickly. Just some thoughts along those lines I'd appreciate.
Representative Petrov.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So to speak to that 100 number and how many businesses have over 100 employees, the fund folks estimate that still 95% of the loans are going to go to companies under 100 employees. We just don't have that many companies that are going to qualify in the over 100 range. All we're trying to do is to give them a little bit of flexibility. As to the numbers of how much has been loaned out so far or in an equity position, and most of this is loaned out, $6 million of the $30 million so far, and we want to get this money out. We want it to be working for Wyoming, and by giving us more flexibility, it'll just allow us to do that.
Any further discussion? Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, looking at it from the perspective of lenders, what you'd be doing if you did this, you'd be enabling the lenders in this state to help more people employ more people.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 135 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 135 has passed the Committee of the Whole. I'd like to take just a brief privilege of the chair in the South Gallery here. I've got a dear friend in from Cody, Wyoming, great community supporter and a member of the Northwest College Board of Trustees. Please welcome to the House, John Housel. Welcome to the House, John. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 104, submitted by Representative Dan Zwanzer, an act relating to student information, modifying the consent for withdrawing from school under the age of 18 to include authorization to release certain student information to the National Guard Youth Challenge Program and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 104, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 104 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and the sponsor of the bill will explain the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, you all heard an introduction. This is to authorize information to the Youth Challenge Program. The Standing Committee Amendment, if I could address that first. On page 3, line 1, we just required release of that information. In committee, we decided we needed some more parameters to put on that. So you'll see in the amendment, instead of we specified that by or on October 30th and March 30th, twice each year, to turn those names over, that it has to be between 15 and 19, that they were enrolled in the district and no longer are, and they don't have any information that the student transferred or graduated, and that they don't have any information that that name got a GED in the last year. So just some more specific parameters to make sure we're targeting the right people and not going through everybody that may have transferred to other districts or out of state or gotten a GED. Once again, our neighbors to the north have similar provisions. Our Youth Challenge Program is rapidly growing by the year. I invite you all to Guernsey to take a look at it. And I think they'll be here in the gallery next week, so I'll look forward to introducing them. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Zwanzer, could you move the Standing Committee Amendment?
It was moved,
it
Mr.
Was moved,
Chairman,
okay.
But I would call for the question on
okay,
the Standing
thank
Committee
you.
Amendment.
The question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment passes back to the bill. Any further discussion? Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 104 do pass, please signify by saying aye. All opposed, no. House Bill 104 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 98. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 98, as introduced by Representative Patton, an act relating to state investments, extending the time period for securing investment services to evaluate state investment policy and performance, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 98, reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 98 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 98. Ladies and gentlemen, to dispense with the amendment, it is just changing the date from July 1, 2014 to effective immediately, and if there are no questions on that, I would call for the question.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, please signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. On back to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will turn the bill explanation over to Representative Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you House Bill 98. On page 2, line 3, we change 2 words and 1 figure, and that's the extent of the bill. The purpose of the bill, even though the wordage is small, is significant in that it allows the investment counselor, whose contract is handled by the state treasurer, to be extended 1 year so that the cycle will be 4 years instead of 3 years. But this, the importance of it is that it allows then the investment counselor, who does the due diligence and does the asset allocation support work and detail, to be present with the new administration of the Land and Investment Board at least 1 year of functioning and operation, so they don't get elected and have a new commission, and they have to try to look at the investment counselor abruptly upon gaining office. At least they'll have a year, maybe 18 months in some instances, to get acquainted with the process, what it's about, and its significance. That's it. Urge your support.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 98 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 98 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill Number 61. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 61 is introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to crimes and offenses, providing that a person is guilty of a misdemeanor if he leaves the vicinity of a burning fire as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 61, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Mr. Vice Chairman Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so at the recommendation that Bill Number 61 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I turn the bill over to the sponsor of the bill from Good Washakie County.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'll explain the bill just a little bit, and then I'll move the Standing Committee Amendment, which I do want to divide. But I think it'll be easier to follow this if I simply explain the bill. Currently, in law, we have a misdemeanor for a person who lights a fire in any woods or prairie and leaves the vicinity without extinguishing it or taking appropriate action to make sure it's contained. We've had some different interpretations of an application, I should say, enforcement of this statute, because of the terms woods or on any prairie. Some judges around the states have determined that certain areas of the state of Wyoming don't fall into the category of woods or prairie, and therefore a loophole in this statute. The purpose of this bill is just simply to close up that loophole, to change a definition, to bring it into our current vernacular. And I can't stress enough, very much enjoyed the discussion in the Labor Committee over this issue. And we did discuss, I stress the fact that this is not a new law, this is an existing law. We're just simply cleaning up the definition. So What is proposed with the bill is we strike through the language any woods or on any prairie, and as originally drafted, we were talking about lights of fire outside of any structure, and I'll get to the amendment in a moment. And then we continue this is that the person leaves the vicinity without extinguishing the fire or taking reasonable actions to contain the fire. So moving on to the standing committee amendment, which I just don't know how many times I want to divide this. We had a great discussion in labor over this. Well, we did. And so probably the most important discussion was the difference between outdoors and out of doors, which I'm still confused about. But anyway, Mr. Chairman, I'll move on here. On the standing committee amendment, which I'll move, I do need to do a division, and I'm stalling here because I think I need two divisions. If you'll give me just a moment.
Please, take your time.
Mr. Chairman, I'll have the body recognize the fact that I did receive an undergraduate degree in economics. Mr. Chairman, I would move to divide the standing committee amendment number one by having the first division be lines 1 through 14 of the amendment, and the second division being lines 15 through 17.
The chair finds that that division is appropriate. Let's debate division 1, Representative Greer, the economist.
Mr. Chairman, what we felt is because this is a criminal statute, and what the committee felt, and I agreed with, is that we would want to include the language that a person intentionally lights a fire so that we were not creating a criminal penalty for an accident, backfire of a vehicle driving through a prairie or something along those lines. And that's what Division 1 would do, is insert the term intentional.
Any further debate on Standing Committee Division 1 amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of Division 1 of the Standing Committee amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1 is adopted. Moving on to Division 2.
And Mr. Chairman, Division 2, which I do not support, again, the change of the definition was any woods or prairie. What we came up with in drafting the bill was outside any structure. And I felt that was better language, clearer language. The committee, in their amendment, just simply said, just outdoors. And we had this discussion of fire pits, barbecues, irrigation ditches, burn barrels. We had a lot of discussion about a lot of different structures. And then when we came to this point where we just said just outdoors, I feel that that's too broad. And I would prefer that we defeat the second division of the standing committee amendment and just simply go with the language as presented in the bill, is that a person lights a fire outside of any structure and leaves the vicinity without extinguishing it or taking reasonable steps to contain that fire.
So, is there any further discussion on standing committee amendment 1, division 2? This is a hot one. Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee 1, Division 2, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment fails. Back to the bill. Representative Croker.
I guess a point of order. I think that amendment was divided wrong. I think that lines 10 and 11 should have been included in the second division because it changed the title of the new statute to match up with the language that was being changed, so you might want to look at that division there.
Mr. Chairman, he's absolutely right, and as I pulled away from the microphone, I saw that, but I felt that moving forward was more important than being correct.
All right, would you like to, let's see, then the... I guess we go back to Division 1 being out of order. We'll go back to your proposed division.
Mr. Chairman, I'm receiving instructions from my left here. Just a moment. Yeah, but I'm still not seeing the division. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move to redivide the amendment. Can you help me? Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, if I understand this, Division 1 was out of order.
That's correct. You have a new proposed division of the amendment, the Standing Committee Amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, I would understand then that all I would need to do is redivide Division 1, and we would revote on that?
You could do it that way if I think that works, if you'd like to propose a new Division 1 or divide the Division 1 that's been passed.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, I would move to divide Division 1 into Division 1A and 1B. And that division would... Mr. Chairman, I ate way too much lunch.
What have I done? Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Division 1 should be lines 1 through 9 and lines 12 through 14. Division 2, lines 10 and 11 and lines 15 through 17.
Sorry, could you repeat that, Representative Croker?
Division 1 is lines 1 through 9 and lines 12 through 14. Division 2 was lines 10 and 11 and lines 15 through 17.
Did we have to re-vote on those?
Okay.
Representative Greer,
Mr. Chairman,
are you acceptable with that division?
I am.
Okay. Please proceed with Division 1.
Then I would just call the question on Division
Question 1. On Division 1. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Division 1, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 1 carries. Moving on to Standing Committee Division 2, Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I call the question on that.
Question being called on Division 2. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 fails. Back to the bill. Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I think I've said enough. Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Green's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 61 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 61 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill number 72. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House number 72 from the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, authorizing specified level 1 and level 2 studies, and providing appropriations, requiring reports, providing for reversion of uncontracted funds, providing funding for the University of Wyoming Office of Water Programs, authorizing unobligated funds to be used to complete other designated project studies under certain conditions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 72, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 7 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 72 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, I sense that a watered-down version of this explanation will be appropriate for this afternoon. In your box, buried underneath your third reading budget amendments, you'll find a kind of a sheet that goes through these projects one by one. This is the first of two ominous water bills that you will see. This is the planning bill. We'll have the construction bill in a few days. These projects go through a lot of review by the time they get to this floor. The Wyoming Water Development staff first reviews these projects. They go to the Wyoming Water Development Commission, then they go to the Select Water Committee, then they go through the Ag Committee. So they've had pretty good review by the time they get there. So you can go down through these projects and look at them. If you have any specific questions, I'll try to answer them. I do have a standing committee amendment. You'll find that on page 3 of the bill. We've added another project into the reconnaissance studies on new developments. After line 1, we will add the North Fork Shoshone water supply for $150,000. So I would move that standing committee amendment, ask if there's any questions. If there's not, I'd call for the question, Mr. Chairman, on the standing committee amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of the standing committee amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Chairman Semlick.
If there's any questions on this bill, I'll try to answer it. You can look over the sheets. I have a big three-ring notebook that explains each of these projects and the sponsoring entity in detail. I won't take any up more of your floor time unless you have some questions. If there are no questions, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Semlick's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 72 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 72 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 11 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substance Act, adding specified controlled substances to Schedule I of the Act and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 11, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 7 ayes, 1 no, 1 excuse, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 11 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. What this bill does is, in the statutes, already in the statutes, when you go over to Title 35 in Chapter 7, it's where we have all the schedules of all the different drugs. We have Schedule 1 drugs, Schedule 2, Schedule 3, Schedule 4. And they go down in seriousness as you go down the schedules. And those are all your prescription pills and things like that, or things that you get at the pharmacist. And some of them listed are, in Schedule 1, are those that are illegal drugs. Under the statute, the commissioner, and the commissioner under the statute is the attorney general, the commissioner shall administer this act, and with the advice of the advisory board, and there's an advisory board in the their pharmacists, essentially, may add substances or delete or reschedule substances pursuant to the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. So we don't actually put the drugs on the schedules. That's actually done by the Attorney General with advice and consent from, there's a committee made up mostly of pharmacists. So what happens every year is while we're gone, while we're not in session, different prescription drugs come on the market, and as they do and as the FDA approves them, the Attorney General places them onto the schedule where they're appropriate, whether they're Schedule 2 or Schedule 3. And then other drugs come on that the FDA has said should be illegal. So these would all, the ones that are that we're listing here, they're all Schedule 1s, which mean they're you can't get a prescription for them. And I think almost all of them are what's called synthetic cannabinoids. And synthetic cannabinoids is not marijuana. They're called cannabinoids because they're similar, but they can kill you. They're not good drugs. And the reason there's a long list there is, especially with cannabinoids, all you have to do is change a molecule to every time, and suddenly you can have something different that does not come under the law. So what the Attorney General does as these come out during the year, he adds them to his list. And then what we do every year is we go and put them into the statute. Because what happens is if you don't do that, you have the list in the statute, and then he has his list on his website, and they're not matching up. And then people don't realize that they're supposed to go look on his website. So all we're doing here is updating our schedules in the statute books to meet up with the Attorney General's list. The Standing Committee Amendment added a few that we had forgotten, and then I'll have a Committee of the Whole Amendment, too, that for two more. But if we could do the Standing Committee Amendment first, it just adds a few more.
Any discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. And Chairman Gingrey.
Chairman, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. And those are the fluorine fives, and I don't know why we forgot those. We all know about them, but that's a joke. Anyway, the fluorine fives had to be added in, if we could vote on that one.
Any discussion? Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Chairman, that's the whole bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 11 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 11 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, on your list, after number 16, House Bill 21, insert as the next bill, House Bill 88. And then on your list, number 36, which is House Bill 79, and number 39, which is House Bill 77, move those down after the old, or in place of House Bill 88, which is at number 48. Insert those both at 48.
Mr. Leader, the ones that we're inserting at 48 are...
So I'm going to do it by the numbers instead of the House bills. Number 36 and number 39 both move down to 48. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 21. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 21 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, providing for the property tax exemption for charitable organizations as specified, requiring reports, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 21, reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 21 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And for the sake of efficiency, I'll have the Standing Committee Amendment explained in conjunction with the bill itself, and I would turn the explanation over to the representative from District 23.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Gingrey. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During the interim, the Revenue Committee took up this as a committee-sponsored bill, and they spent 2 different meetings really reviewing this this summer. Here's the issue that has come up, and primarily a lot of it is in my own community where we have a lot of charitable organizations and charitable trusts. And what the problem was that they're in the statute, but they weren't well defined, and so the assessor was having difficulty determining who was a charitable trust and who was not, and who was a charity and who was not. So this bill doesn't actually expand any of the exceptions or exemptions. Nobody's being added and nobody's being deleted. So nobody's losing an exemption, nobody's gaining an exemption. All this is doing is clarifying the statute.
So let me start with the very first one. The first one at the top on page 2, all it's doing is clarifying. It says property of charitable trusts. We had a charitable trust in my community that was from the University of Peru, and they had bought land in my community, and then they were saying, we're exempt. We don't have to pay taxes. The reason we give exemptions to people is that the hope is that we're not because they're doing what they're collecting, and because of their charity, then they we're not having to spend tax money. So that's why they're a benefit. In this case, why in the world would the University of Peru be a benefit to the state of Wyoming? So what we added there is a charitable trust, which the purpose is directly beneficial to the people of the state. So your purpose has to be directly beneficial to the people of the state. Then if you look at the next one, and it's sort of a convoluted one, and what happened was, it's a story of a comma. This comma got stuck in there, and for years, the Department of Revenue has been very confused over this comma, and so this is the comma bill, essentially, is trying to fix this problem. They took a lot of testimony, the Revenue Committee did, and they sort of sorted this out. The first thing they did, what looks like over the years, they just kept cramming stuff into this one section. They put fraternities and sororities into this section, and didn't really need to be there. So all they did was pull the fraternities and sororities out for the UW, and they gave them their own provision. So they're not being deleted, and they're not being added. They're just the same. They're just getting their own little paragraph. They did the same thing with the senior citizen centers. You'll see there on line 9, it says senior citizen center. They've pulled that out, given them their own unique paragraph. And then they pulled out charities, and they gave them their own unique paragraph. And that's actually what's on the standing committee amendment is, and that was mostly some wordsmithing that went on in committee. And then lastly, you may have heard there was some concern from the assessors as to the reporting, and the reporting part came out through the standing committee amendment. So unless there's any questions on the standing committee amendment, maybe the question on the standing committee amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of the standing committee amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Chairman Gingrey.
And Mr. Chairman, that's the whole bill.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does recommend that House Bill 21 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 21 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill 88. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 88 from Representative Throne, an act relating to the Uniform Consumer Credit Code, authorizing extended payment plans to repay post-dated check obligations, providing for recitation of post-dated checks and similar arrangements, providing for notification relating to payday check cashing laws, renumbering existing provision, providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 88, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. There were 8 ayes, 1 no, and signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 88 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we could just dispense with the standing committee amendment. It deletes standard and adds in writing. That's all that it does, and then it changes on page 5, delete payday, and add the more modern term now that we use, which is post-dated check. If there's no concerns with that, I would call the question on that amendment.
Question, Madam Minority Leader, do you have, okay. Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor of adoption of that amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will now defer the bill explanation to the Minority Floor Leader, Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is the product of a compromise and a lot of effort over those of us with those of us involved in this for the last couple of years. It incorporates industry best practices, the industry standard for some important consumer protections into our statutes. It allows folks the right to rescind within 24 hours or by 5 o'clock of the following business day. And in addition, it allows for an extended payment plan. Finally, the last feature is a notice requirement so that consumers are aware of their rights under our statutes. And if there are no questions.
Representative Blickley.
Mr. Chairman, so my question is, isn't this bill essentially forcing an industry to change a contract that was signed by both sides?
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
No, because it can't apply retroactively to a contract. On a going forward basis, these rules have to be followed. Again, this was a bill brought to me by the Association of Folks Who Have Payday Lending Facilities. It's their industry standard. But you can't retroactively change a contract.
Any further debate or questions on the bill? Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 88 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor of the bill, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker, Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Blevins,
aye.
Blickrey, Blickrey,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart, Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman, Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
Mader, McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt, Watt,
excused.
Watt, excused, Wilson,
aye.
Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Throne, are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 24 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 88 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill 102. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 102 from Representative Stebson, an act relating to the administration of government, creating the Sage-Grouse Implementation Team, providing for membership, specifying duties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred to House Bill 102, respectfully reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 7 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 102 does pass. And there's a standing committee amendment, and I'll turn both the amendment and the bill over to the Representative Stubson.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe we can dispose of the standing committee amendment initially. The committee made some good changes to the bill. First, they allowed put on 2 additional members, one member from this body and one from the body down the hall. And then secondly, if you turn to the last page of the bill, not quite the last, if you turn to page 5, under sections E and F, they made the language, strengthened it and made it more consistent, just to make clear that this covers recommendations both on enhancing and maintaining sage-grouse populations and sage-grouse habitats, which covers really the key areas. So I'd go ahead and move for approval on the standing committee amendment.
Question being called on the standing committee amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Amendment passes and is adopted. Back to the bill. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was interesting in committee because the testimony really was that Wyoming's efforts are what has kept the sage-grouse from being listed. It has been a weight that has been carried by this state from the beginning. We have been out front from the beginning, and it's because of our efforts that it has not been listed. And there was also testimony about what the impacts are if the bird is listed, which is interesting because we talk about the core areas, and we've all seen the maps of the core areas, and we've talked about the various populations of the birds. But if listing did occur, we wouldn't be talking about populations of birds. We'd be talking about regulating individual birds. Everywhere you find a bird would be subject to ESA restrictions. We wouldn't be talking about simply restrictions applying to core areas. We would be talking about restrictions applying to all the historic habitat of the bird, which, if you've seen the maps, covers essentially everything but the mountains in the state. And so this is critical to the economic well-being of our state, and it's critical to the bird as well, and managing and making sure that the bird survives. But there are two key questions on listing. One is, you know, what's the status of the populations in the habitat? Are they growing or are they declining? But the second one, which this bill really seeks to address, is are there adequate regulatory mechanisms in place for protection of the birds? And we have, from the beginning, had this has been it came out of the executive's office. It has remained in the executive office. And if you look through our statute books, what we as a legislature have done, we've done some good funding on good projects. But really, our fingerprints are nowhere to be found on sage-grouse policy in the state of Wyoming. And so this bill really seeks to do 2 things. First, it seeks to ensure that we as a body have a say in the debate, that we have involvement in protecting sage-grouse and how that's done in the state. And this is a modest step in that direction by ensuring that the implementation team is a product of statute. It is an appointed body. Those terms are set. The membership is set. But the second part of this, and this comes really out of the Select Committee on Federal Natural Resource Management hearings that we had and some discussion on sage-grouse, and because we don't have anything in our statutes regarding the implementation team, it's a knock against us on that argument of adequate regulatory mechanism, because really all the regulatory mechanism sits in the executive branch. So you have a change in that office. Theoretically, the whole strategy for protecting sage-grouse just goes away. This allows from the state to go forward to the federal agencies and say, look, not only is there a basis in the executive, but the legislature has a hand in this too. And it's found in the green books. It is a program and a process that exists in the state. And so it helps us significantly on that adequate regulatory mechanism argument. And just a quick review of the bill. It's pretty straightforward. And again, the only change is really to what the makeup of the implementation team as it stands right now are the changes made by the standing committee, which would add two members of the legislative body to it. But if you go through on page 2, it lists out, it provides that each of the members will have a 4-year term. It provides out the types of members that represent industry. And one of the other amendments that was contained in the standing committee amendment is on line 19 there. It was conservation and sportsmen's groups. We made sure that that was clear. Then you see there is one representative from county government, one from the wind industry. And then there on page 3 is listed the representatives of different state agencies that have a role in recommending how we conserve sage-grouse. On page 4, you've got the listing of the federal agencies that have been participating, and essentially they are the implementation team is directed to cooperate and involve those agencies in its discussions. And then finally on page 5, you have that its role is to serve as the advisory group for the governor on sage-grouse policy. So it's a pretty straightforward bill. The money, it doesn't change any the money. Typically, those members that have been a part of the implementation team, either their employers have been paying for it, or on those couple of members where the employer is not paying for it, the governor has pulled out of his budget to pay for it, and that will remain the same under this bill. So with that, I'd take any questions.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you. Standing in very much favor of this, the Wyoming groups, there's been many groups that you can see on the pages that we just listed, the ag group, the mineral group, the timber. We've had a lot of people working as individual groups, and we are kind of a model for the whole western states in the sage-grouse study for making sure they're not listed. And this brings all the, it gives the legislature, gives a legislative support to this group, which then with the federal government agencies improves our standing and just makes it a whole lot more with the legislature behind this. The federal government is really seeing that this is, we're taking it seriously and we're trying to take care of this bird. So this is just a great idea. Appreciate the good majority whip bringing this up, and I'd really suggest that we wholeheartedly support this.
Any further discussion? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Davison's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 102 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 102 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 106, as presented by Representative Moniz, an act relating to counties providing for regulation of the sale or use of fireworks pursuant to county commissioner resolution as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 106, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass for the following amendments. There were 8 ayes, 1 no on the vote, and it's signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
Prior to the proceeding on this bill, Representative Blevins, privilege of the floor.
Thank you. In the north balcony, visiting us from the north, our Northwest Trapper College trustees, Carolyn Danko. Please stand up so we can see you. Ann Nada Larson. And they're from Powell and Letizia, I believe. So welcome to Cheyenne.
Welcome to the House. You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
I'm here. When you have the good, young, tall friend behind me, in front of me, you can't see me, Mr. Chairman. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I move House Bill 106. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 106 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And if we could dispense with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll explain it on page 1, line 3. After the word specified, we add prohibition. And on line page 2, line 4, we struck the words Wyoming resident. If there are no questions on the amendment, I call for the question.
Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor of adopting the amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I will defer to the one of the sponsors, Majority Floor Leader Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This statute, as it was originally written, is supposed to allow the county commissioners to prohibit fireworks, and then if the county commissioner's decision is not suitable to the public upon a filing of a petition, you can have an election on it. My county attorney read the statute one day and said he didn't read it that way, and I have to admit that you could read it to say that we couldn't have a county fireworks ban until there was an election. That was never the intent. And so we have rewritten the statute to make it clear that the county commissioners can, by resolution, enact a fireworks ban if 15% of the voters that voted in the last election sign a petition, then that ban is must be the subject of an election by the public in the next election. And if the public at that election overturns the commissioner's prohibition, then it's overturned. And if they don't overturn it, they can't bring it up again for 4 years. So I think it simply does what we always intended, and it leaves us in a position where the county commissioners can prohibit fireworks and the public, through the petition process and a referendum election, can overturn the decision of the commissioners. I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not convinced that the problem is the statute. It sounds to me like it's the county attorney.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I have no comment on that.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have one question on the amendment that just went through. What was the specific reason why we took out two Wyoming residents? And I ask that because I remember growing up in the state to the south, one time when I was in high school, we drove up to Wyoming to buy fireworks that we could not buy in our state, and there was a temporary ban, and we actually had to sign a agreement that we wouldn't use them in Wyoming and would take them to the other state. I guess I don't want to put an end to business of fireworks stands from people from out of state.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the representative has identified exactly why that language was taken out, so that the county commissioners can say, not only is there a ban on fireworks in our county, there's a ban on the sale of fireworks in our county. Not just the Wyoming residents, a ban on sale, period.
Any further discussion? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 106 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 106 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Privilege of the floor, Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for privilege of the floor. If you look up in the North Gallery, there is a lady up there from the center of the state, Kathy Dolan, who happens to be on a board of trustee member of Casper College, and we welcome you here to the House.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 95. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 95, presented by Representative Harvey, an act relating to public health, directing the Department of Health to establish a diabetes prevention and treatment plan as specified, requiring reports and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 95, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Harvey. I'm sorry, Vice Chairman Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so the recommendation that House Bill number 95 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I turn the bill over to the good chairman of the Labor Committee from Bighorn County.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is called Diabetes Care Planning, and I think that this is one of the best ways to deal with the high cost of health care. We've got to bring down the health care costs in our state if we plan to do anything about bringing down insurance costs and bringing down the cost of health care in general. Over 42,000 adults live with diabetes in Wyoming today, and 133,000 are living with prediabetes, meaning more than a third of Wyoming's adults are living with diabetes or its precursor. So get rid of the donuts in the break room, would you? The prevalence of diabetes in Wyoming continues to increase dramatically, with 8% of the adult population diagnosed with the disease today. Okay, now here's the bad news. Diabetes consumes $34 million in Wyoming's health care spending each year, with the majority of the costs directed towards managing diabetes complications in inpatient hospital settings after patient admission through the emergency room. So we're dealing with it at the worst end of the deal. And so this is a diabetes plan, a care plan. So if you go to page 2, the first part of it is just gathering the information. Page 3, it is talking about the level of coordination between the department and other agencies. And here's where the Standing Committee Amendment comes. And the Shoshone and Arapaho tribes, we added those in because prevalence of diabetes among minorities is actually higher than the general population. And so then it talks about programmatic activities, messaging, treating and preventing, and then it's developing a proposed action step. What are we going to do about it? The other population that this is going to study and then develop an action plan on is for pregnant women with gestational diabetes and the outcomes from that. As you know, half of the births in Wyoming are Medicaid, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the percentage, but it's high enough to be significant. Not only is the mother impacted, but so is the child, and both of those bring extended costs. So back to the Standing Committee Amendment, what we did was we just added the study of this and then the action plan, also to include the Shoshone and Arapaho tribes, and I would call for question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor of adoption, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Chairman Harvey.
If there are no further questions, I call for question on the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Green's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that the House Bill 95 do pass, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. House Bill 95 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, on your list, number 42, House Bill 73, move that up and put it after number 24, House Bill 12. So number 24 will be House Bill 12, then House Bill 73, then House Bill 155. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill number 37 do pass, and I also move the Standing Committee amendments. Let me explain the bill and the amendments. House Bill 37 is the revisers bill. That's where we go through and correct all of the typographical errors and mistakes that we've made. On the first page, we added a new section to a statute.
Speaker, if I could stop you, I'm sorry. We needed to read the bill in. We skipped that. Sorry.
House Bill 37 from the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, correcting statutory references and language resulting from inadvertent errors and omissions in previously adopted legislation, correcting obsolete references, specifying applicability, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred House Bill 37, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 12 ayes, one excused, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker.
I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation that House Bill 37 do pass, and I also move the Standing Committee Amendment. I'll explain the bill and the amendments together, which I started to do before. The first page, we just added a section change. The second page, we used the word vendors, and the word in the statute was retailers, so we corrected that. The third page is actually a change on the fourth page where we changed the word section to the word program, which is the correct term. On the fifth page, it said and he, and that was the wrong reference. It should be the Department of Workforce Services. Again, on page six, it's a correct reference. On page seven, there's no requirement that the county, we mail each county clerk printed copies of the statutes because they can get them on the board, so that deleted each county clerk, but required us to have printed copies go to the legislators. We corrected a citation on the bottom of page 7. We corrected a statutory citation on page 8, and then in the amendment we added two more additional sections that just cited the right act, which was the Federal Consumer Credit Protections Act. With that, I'd call a question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Mr. Speaker.
If there are no questions on the bill, I call a question on the bill.
Question having been called, all those in favor of the Speaker's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 37 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 37 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 123. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 123 from the Management Council, an act relating to administrative procedure, providing for an administrative code and database system as specified, specifying effective dates for rules, specifying duties, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 123, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. There were 12 ayes, one excuse, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 123 do pass, and I also move the Standing Committee amendments. Let me explain the amendment first, and then let me explain the bill and then the amendment. What the bill does is it provides the Secretary of State to take our incomprehensible morass of administrative regulations and turn them into a comprehensible current index searchable database of rules and regulations available to the public. What the Standing Committee Amendment does is essentially it gets rid of pages 2, 3, and the top of page 4, which required that regulations only be done two times a year and become effective two times a year. That turned out to be unnecessarily complicated. Also, it corrected some language in the statute, but essentially what happens is that now
The operative language is that the Registrar of State Agency Rules maintain a current index of state agency rules filed with the registrar. So, and that's paragraph D in the middle of page 5. So what they'll do is they'll put together an indexable, searchable database, and then there's some consultation requirements and cooperation requirements between the Secretary of State, the Chief Information Officer, to study the feasibility of designing the system, and that amendment goes in at page 6 of line 3. This is a long-needed piece of legislation. I'd call the question on the Standing Committee Amendment if there are no questions.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor of adoption of the amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Mr. Speaker, back to the bill.
If there are no questions on the bill, I call question on the bill.
Question being called on the bill. All those in favor of Speaker Lubnow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 123 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 123 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 36 for the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature modifying procedures for payment of the constituent service allowance, reappropriating funds, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 36, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 12 ayes, 1 excused, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill Number 36 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee, or there are no Standing Committee amendments, just move that the bill do pass. I'll explain the bill. When we set up the Constituent Service Allowance years ago, we set up a Constituent Service Allowance account for those monies to go into, and then when you turned in your receipts, we were paid out of the account. Some 4 years ago, we changed that so that now you don't have to turn in receipts for the constituent service allowance. It just comes. So we don't need the account anymore. This bill just gets rid of the account. If there are no further questions, I'd call for the question on the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Speaker Lubnow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 36 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 36 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62.
House Bill 62 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to professions and occupations, creating a general administrative act for licensure boards, establishing minimum meeting requirements, establishing internal controls and periodic audits, establishing uniform compensation, clarifying administrative support for licensure boards, refining the cost allocation calculation for services provided to licensure boards, delegating licensure authority to committee and staff, providing authority to contract and hire staff, amending provisions relating to deposit of monies collected, making conforming changes, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred House Bill 62, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 13 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill Number 62 do pass. And I turn the explanation over the bill to the good representative from the center of the state.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is your Management Audit Committee. This is one of the bills that came out of it this last year. This resulted in a scoping study and a full study on the licensure boards and their procedures and rules, and they found lots of inconsistencies. So it ended up with a 26-page document here, but three-quarters of the pages are basically just conforming bills or conforming sections because of the 35 or so different licensure boards that this affects. Basically, it requires the boards to meet, at least annually. Some of the boards were not meeting at all. It requires minimum financial controls. It prohibits board members from receiving compensation. One particular board was using the majority of the money we appropriated to pay one of the board members as an employee. And it also provides uniform compensation for board members for per diem and mileage. And that was varying from group to group what people were being reimbursed. So now if they go to an away meeting, they get per diem like we do, and they get mileage like we do. So there's just some consistency put in it. I can go through the bill more. If anyone wants to stand up the mic and ask questions, I'd be happy to answer the questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of Speaker Lubnow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 62 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. House Bill 62 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 12 from Speaker Lubnow, an act relating to speed limits, establishing a maximum speed limit declarable by state authorities, modifying and clarifying the state superintendent's ability to designate higher speed limits, amending the identification of speeding violations that are kept in state records, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 12, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 7 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 12 do pass. There were no standing committees in the Transportation Committee. We sent it to Appropriations, and they came out with no standing committee amendments, and I'd like to turn the explanation over to the main man.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you House Bill 12. It's fitting that the last bill that I bring to this body is a constituent request. The request was, why can't I drive 80 miles an hour in safe sections of the interstate in Wyoming when I can in the state to the southwest when their roads are essentially the same? It's a simple bill. It allows the superintendent of the highway department to adjust the speed limit down, and it also allows them to adjust it up 5 miles per hour depending on the road conditions, and the traffic. It does not raise the speed limit on interstates everywhere, and it's not mandatory. It's only in those places and in those conditions where vehicles could operate safely at 80 miles an hour. If the roads are not safe for 80 miles an hour, the speed limit will not be increased. The Beehive State has this speed limit, and if you look in your desk, there's a map of a state that looks surprisingly like Utah. If you look at that map, you'll find that there were red sections in the highway. Those were existing 80-mile-an-hour speed limits in that state. And the program was so successful, and they had essentially no problems with it, so they've expanded it from all of the spots on the red on the map to all of the spots on the red and the orange, effective in October of 2013. If you look at the chart that looks like a little spreadsheet, that's the fatality data from the second largest state in the country. What they find is that before they increased the speed limit, they had 75 fatal crashes with 86 fatalities, and after, they had a decrease in the fatalities. There's some testimony about the stopping distance, but the empirical data shows that this is a very successful program in other states, and I'd urge your adoption of the bill.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess one question I have is, your constituent, isn't he aware of the fact that he can drive 80 already in Wyoming, and that you don't get ticketed for such? And I don't know if it's an official policy or not, but it seems like it's very rare when you see somebody get arrested for 77 in a 75 zone or 78. And I guess the implication that gives me is that if we were to pass this bill, would that kind of raise the de facto speed limit up to really 85?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if you look at the empirical data from Utah, the 85 percentile speed on the 80-mile stretch of the road of their interstate was approximately 82 miles an hour. So there was an empirical data of about a 2-mile-an-hour increase. And they noted no significant change in speed-related crashes. And those stretch sections of the second-largest state where they raised the speed limit to 85 miles an hour, they saw about a 4-mile-an-hour change.
Chairman, none. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to add for the record that I have received a ticket for going 80 miles an hour on an interstate here in Wyoming, so it's not necessarily de facto.
Chairman, none.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the sponsor of the bill if those statistics where they calculated the new average after the law went into effect, did that also include a standard deviation?
Mr. Speaker.
I'm certain it did.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take one poke at the bill, which will be educational, even if it isn't effective. Most cars, to get the sticker mileage, you drive at 55, and the faster you go, the more your gas consumption increases. At 60 miles an hour, you lose 3% of your mileage. At 65, 8%. And when you get up to 80 miles an hour, you lose 20% of your gas mileage.
Any further debate? Seeing none, all those in favor of Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 12 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 12 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Privilege of the floor. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I've got a couple of people to introduce here. First, my wife, Wendy, who's been patiently watching us several days. Most of you have met her. She's up in the South Gallery. And my son, Scott Miller, who's down for a business trip, a former messenger on this very floor.
Welcome to the House. Representative Filer, do you have a privilege of... Okay, all right. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 73. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 73 from Representative Filer, an act relating to state employment, declaring it a state policy to support competitive employment in an integrated setting, requiring agencies to support competitive and integrated employment, providing definitions and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 73, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 73 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I turn the explanation of both over to the prime sponsor from the train depot.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Filer.
I like that, train depot. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring everybody House Bill 73, and also would like to move the Standing Committee Amendment. If I could, I'd like to just kind of explain the bill just a little bit and then move on to the amendment. The bill is actually, what it'll do is it'll make competitive and integrative employment the first option with people with disabilities and receiving services from the state or state-funded programs. Also, the bill defines competitive employment and integrated setting. It allows state agencies to share data and information across systems so that they can work together and track progress. The main reasons for this was the current cost of the program serving people with disabilities continues to grow, and employment services have proven to provide the best return on investment and the most cost-effective. Employment First is meant to facilitate full inclusion of individuals with disabilities in the workplace and community. One, it can help get people out of poverty, increase their independence, allow them to take and make control or make contribution to their community, and also states that have implemented this type of policy have had up to 72% of the people in their programs working in the community. And right now, Wyoming is only at 15%. So that's pretty much what the bill does. What the amendment does is what we had to work on in committee because I had to get the state agencies together and make this work right with ANI, Workforce Services, and Department of Health. So the amendment actually clarifies the agencies and providers involved with their and their responsibilities, and establishes and defines an employment first policy which you can see right there, Employment First Means, a concept to facilitate the full inclusion of individuals with disabilities in the workplace and the community. Under the Employment First approach, community-based integrated employment is the first option for employment services for children and adults with disabilities. Employment First includes competitive employment in an integrated setting. It also creates for the task force to report every year for the next 3 years to the Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee. And with that, I'll stand for any questions. And if there's no question on the amendment, I'd like to call a question on the amendment.
Do you have anything on the amendment? Yeah, we're on the amendment. Any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I like the intent of the bill, but I think there might be some unintended consequences here. Page 2, the definition of competitive employment actually requires that these individuals are paid at or above minimum wage. I was contacted by a group that's the largest employer of people with disabilities in my community, and a lot of the people that they hire, they actually are able to pay them less than full or less than minimum wage because they're disabled to the point where they can't be as productive in their jobs as some others, and it's an opportunity for them to really build some self-worth, gain some skills by being able to earn a little bit of an income and get some job training. I personally, at my business, we hired a gentleman to wash motorcycles through a program like this where the state helped offset it. He didn't make full minimum wage. He actually probably was maybe one-fourth as fast and productive as a regular employee. And, I mean, as a business owner, the fact that I was able to pay him less, I think it was valuable for him because he was still receiving services from the state. He wasn't dependent on his income to make a living, but he was able to come in, be productive, learn some job skills, really gain some valuable experience. And, frankly, for the amount of work that he produced, I would not have been able to pay him what I paid a regular employee because I would have needed to demand more work out of him and more productivity, and I think that's a scary thing. And like I said, it was brought to my attention by the by a group that focuses on finding work for disabled persons, and they were really afraid that it was going to affect them and have a lot of a negative unintended consequences. So I would urge caution with this bill.
Representative Filer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With those good questions and concerns, and I know exactly who that was from up there in Natrona County, you know, that number one in your heart and license plate place. That
two number ones on Park County, just
oh, well,
just so
from
you know.
Park County. No, this is from Natrona County. Oh, yeah, two number ones. I'm sorry, Chairman. But I absolutely know who you're talking about, and I know who he works for, and I did talk to this gentleman who had these concerns. And this does not affect the 14, I don't, you know, if everybody knows what the Title 14C employment through the federal government does, but allows them to apply for a waiver to pay under the minimum wage if they cannot perform these services or can't perform a certain job. This doesn't mandate that they have to pay them minimum wage. All this does is let the agencies come together and say, hey, if we could find competitive integrative employment first for these folks, why not try it? If they want to be out in the communities working and being integrated, let's try it. It's not saying that we have to give them a job at minimum wage. It's just saying that this is something that we ought to try first for them if that's what they want to do. And, again, it does not affect the 14C waiver as far as wages go for especially that same company that the good representative was talking about.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, does this permit supported employment? Often community service providers will share the wage with an employer, and I want to be sure that that's something that we can continue.
Representative Filer.
Mr. Chairman, yes. It doesn't affect that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, most of the providers have come to me except for the one that had an issue with this, and they were all okay with it. They actually all supported this. So it's not going to affect any of that. Thanks. And I'd call for the question. Oh, never mind. We keep going.
Mr. Majority Floor Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the promotion. But my question, just I hear the discussion about an option, you know, let's get together and see. But as I look at the amendment, Standing Committee Amendment on page 2, it talks about
that service providers shall adopt this specific program and they shall establish. And it seems like a pretty, it seems, at least as I read the standing number M on the standing committee amendment, that it's requiring service providers to adopt a specific program and to do employment in a specific way.
Representative Filer.
I believe you're talking, Mr. Chairman, page 1, line 4, where it says, after employment insert requiring home and community-based waiver, service providers to implement employment-first policies requiring reports. What that does is if they want to participate in this, they can create a report showing how the progress is going to work, because we're going to have this task force that's actually going to go out there and report back to us for the next 3 years to make sure that this program is working and moving forward, because we don't want it to stall. We want to make sure this is actually going to work like the other states did, and let's bring up the percentage of folks with disabilities working in our communities.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The whole point of this bill is to start people going to work in the communities. The whole point of the waiver redesign is to bring us up to state-of-the-art at a less cost in the most inclusive and best practices nationwide. Best practices are waiver redesign. Even all the grumbling that you've heard about it, it still is a very good waiver redesign. And there are some points that still need to be worked out. The thing of it is the supported part of the waiver is supporting people in working. And so we're trying to get providers, we're trying to get employers, we're trying to set the example of state employees, that we can find a place in the workforce, in our society, for people with disabilities to work at their ability. And just as an example, it's northwest of us, the state that's northwest that we share a medical college with. That state has 72% employment of the people that are on their waiver program and have one of the lowest costs per person for people who are on the program. And part of it is because they are employed. And so the point of this is we have to start somewhere. Let's get people with disabilities employed and reduce the cost. And yes, it is supported in the beginning because they have disabilities. We have to help them learn how to work. But you'll hear tomorrow some more about some of the plans of this. But this is just one of the steps along the way to create a system that we can help people be more included in their community and to be as independent as their disability will allow.
Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 73 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those that voting aye, please stand. House Bill number 73 has passed the House, has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 48, which is number 55 on your list, move that up and insert it after number 28. So 28 is House Bill 30, then it'll be House Bill 48, then House Bill 169. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 155. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 155, submitted by Representative Baker, an act relating to criminal court case fees, providing for collection of electronic citation fees in municipal courts as specified, providing for establishment and maintenance of municipal electronic citation systems, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 155, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 7 ayes, 2 noes, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that House Bill 155 do pass and ask for your favorable consideration. I'll turn the explanation over to the good representative from the spring where it's rocky.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 155 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is the electronic citation bill. I'd like to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment, if I may. The Standing Committee Amendment does some cleanup language, and it also reduces the fee. It also organizes it so that the fee will just go back to the municipality under which the issuing agency is. So there's just it reduces the fee from a $5 fee to a $2 fee, which I think is a good start for this system and the implementation of it. So if there's no questions, I'll call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, please signify by aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back to the bill. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I gave an introduction of this bill, and I'll stand for questions. If not, I'll call for the question on the bill.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Representative Walters' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 155 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 155 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 178. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 178, as presented by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to offenses against computer property, creating the criminal offense of computer trespass, specifying elements of the offense and penalties, providing a civil cause of action for computer trespass, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 178, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Bill Number 178 do pass. I further move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. I'll turn the explanation of the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment over to our good colleague from House District 8.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several years ago, I think I did 27 or 28 bills on general file, and I think we're past that. So I think we've got a new record up there. Folks, this is the computer trespass bill. If you recall, there's 2 components to it. There's a civil trespass and a criminal trespass for individuals who intentionally send over the Internet anything that will destroy or damage your computer, and that's it in a nutshell. We took it to the department, the Ag Commission. We had the common carriers came in and reviewed the bill, and they concurred with it. They did bring the committee amendment, and what that did was said it exempted common carriers from so that those ISP folks and the common carriers would not be liable for information that was transmitted through them because they're just a pass-through entity. And so that they're not culpable or responsible for the acts of others. We concurred with that, and that was amended. When we brought it back to LSO and reviewed the language, we thought that language was a little bit more, we tailored it and made it a little bit more restrictive or refined the language. And so the first thing I would do, what I would move for your approval of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
Thank you. And now going to the Committee as a Whole Amendment, what we did was we modified the Standing Committee Amendment by taking the first part of it and leaving that in. But then if you go to page 6 or line 6 all the way down, we've just simply substituted all that language for new language. And the new language provides that common carriers, Internet service providers, or other persons who supply the Internet service over which the content is delivered shall not be prosecuted for violations under this section resulting from the acts of another. So what that did is it tailored it down. For example, if you had a common carrier that actually was the perpetrator of sending something that's going to damage your computer, then they should be liable. But as long as they only act as a pass-through, then they're not liable. And so that's the only change in this language. It's made a little bit more specific than the language that we put through in the committee last night. So with that explanation, I would move for Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1.
Any debate on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment 1, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no.
Thanks, folks, and I would just call for your approval of the bill. This is numerous states are doing this around the United States. It's just a mechanism by which we can slowly but surely catch up with the perpetrators of those folks that are out there to destroy our computers. Thanks.
Question. Both amendments have been adopted officially, and question being called on the bill. All those in favor of Chairman Semlich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 178 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 178 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 146, as presented by Representative Summers, an act relating to administration of government, providing for a study of state executive department human resource positions as specified, providing for a report, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to who was referred House Bill 146, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 146 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And if you get out your bill, I'd like to just go through it with you really quickly. What we've done is on page 1, we've deleted the word officer on line 12, senior on line 16, and senior on line 4 and 14 on page 2, and then we've changed the committee from Joint Appropriations to Labor, Health, and Social Services, and changed it to Corporations, Election, and Political Subdivisions. This is a study on the state human resources positions, and we felt that it was important that we were inclusive when we were doing the study. So with that, if there are no questions, I will call for the question on the amendment.
Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back on the bill, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciated that enthusiastic aye. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will now turn the bill over for an explanation to the good Representative Summers.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I bring you House Bill 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. I previously served on a state board which ran a state agency. During that time, I saw the agency's human resource position face undue pressure from both the director and from their work colleagues. This occurred to the point where intervention was required on the board's part in more than one instance. The human resource personnel in an agency must maintain a clear firewall between directors, supervisors, and staff. And this is not consistently occurring in all state agencies. And in discussions with the director that oversees this sort of thing, he confirmed that. And we also heard testimony to that effect in the committee. And I'm just going to walk you through the very first section of this bill because it really tells you what it does. The Department of Administration and Information shall conduct a study of the classification of state executive branch human resource employees, whether categorized as at-will employees or classified permanent employees. The study shall specifically address methods intended to increase the independence and professional credentialings of persons employed as human resource officers in executive branch agencies. And then it goes through some methods that they'll look at, but it's not limited to. So rather than just take up your time, they're going to investigate this issue of how human resource officers are employed, whether they should occur, you know, in the agencies like they do now, whether they should be consolidated. It's just going to take a look at that issue and see how we can make that those officers, those human resource personnel, more professional. So thank you. I would consider any questions. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I don't understand the need for the bill, why these people are being singled out over department managers, those who supervise road crews, or any number of other managers or people in the state employment. You know, I used to be a human resource person myself, and, yeah, you get a lot of heat from both sides of the fence, the employees and management. You just deal with it. If you don't have any integrity to handle it in an upright manner, that's just the way things are. You don't belong in the job. I just don't understand why we're singling out one group of people for a special study when there are thousands of state employees.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I do think this position is unique, and for some of the same reasons as the good representative just said. There is a lot of pressure on these individuals to both do what the director says, follow the rules, and also not collude with staff that they serve with. So I think it's unique, and I think it just we need to take a hard look at that, primarily because I saw so much difficulty with the position when I served with this state agency. And I just think we need to take a look at this. Perhaps the study will come up and say, you know, everything looks fine, the system's working good. But that's not what I'm hearing, and that's not what I'm hearing from the department that looks at these human resource positions. So I would just encourage you to go along with this study. Thank you.
Any further debate on the bill? Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 146 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 146 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 30. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 30 is submitted by Representative Watt, an act relating to game and fish, prohibiting the use of drones to harass or hunt wildlife as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 30, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 aye votes, 0 no votes, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 30 do pass, and I'll turn the time over to Representative from House District 36 to explain the bill.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You might say that this bill flies in the face of technology. Technology has enabled us to miniaturize video surveillance equipment and computers to the point where a drone that will fit inside of a suitcase and can be flown with a laptop computer that also fits in the same suitcase can be launched just like we used to do with our old balsa wood airplanes when we were kids. You go out and you throw this drone into the air and it buzzes off and it has a range of several miles. It can feed back video information to the person operating the drone, and there's potential for its use to monitor and harass movements of wildlife. So the purpose of this bill is to prohibit the use of drones to harass, pursue, hunt, shoot, or kill Wyoming wildlife. That's the main purpose of the bill. The word drone actually shows up only 3 times in the bill, once on page 1 and twice on page 2. And that in a tiny little suitcase is the bill. Mr. Chairman, I ask for any questions. Stand for any questions.
Thank you. Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering if it, in the committee, did you, when they were reviewing this bill, did you find that this has become a problem in the state?
Not yet.
Representative Gay.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not yet, but the potential's out there, and people have found themselves remarkably clever at developing technology for ways to use wildlife.
Vice Chairman Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'll ask the same question that I asked on introduction to the original or to the sponsor of the bill. We already have a prohibition against aircraft. Is a drone not considered an aircraft? Are we just adding five letters to our statute in a couple different places? Are we actually doing anything substantively here?
Representative Gay.
That's an excellent question, and a drone, you'd consider it an unmanned aircraft. I think the distinction is important because this type of drone would have a remote user. You've got a person with a joystick and a computer screen in front of them, but the aircraft is flying someplace remotely.
Representative Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So does this addition mean that boring people can't hunt?
Representative Gay.
Mr. Chairman, they can do anything they're big enough to do, just as long as they don't use an unmanned aircraft to do it.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would this include the RC airplane that I can buy down at the mall?
This
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is what I'm talking about, people becoming remarkably clever at using technology. These things, little video cameras, are shrinking at such an alarming rate, and also remotely controlled aircraft are shrinking as well. You can probably buy things down at your local electronics store and build one yourself. Right now, the military uses them every day overseas to essentially hunt human beings. We don't want them hunting our wildlife in Wyoming with this type of aircraft, Mr. Chairman.
Any further debate? Vice Chairman Green.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I should have been more vociferous with my debate on introduction because I think we've wasted the time of the body. I think we should on and against this amendment. We already have a prohibition against aircraft, and now we're adding the word drone. If a drone's not an aircraft, I don't think the sponsor of the amendment or the person who just spoke has been able to define to us that a drone is not an aircraft. We should vote against the bill and be done with this and move on.
Representative Gay?
Mr. Chairman, you could also call a terrestrial robot a drone. You've all seen the little tractor-looking machines that run around and climb around in the rocks and stuff. You don't want to equip one of those with an aircraft and go out and monitor or harass movement of wildlife with any kind of a remotely operated vehicle, Mr. Chairman.
Any further debate? Seeing none, the debate droning on. And question being called, all those in favor, Chairman Davison's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 30 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Aye.
The bill having failed a voice vote requires a standing vote, so all of those people in support of the bill, please rise. All those opposed? Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Davison. Eklund, Esquivel. Filer. Filer. Freeman. Gay. Gingery. Gingery. Goggles. Greer. Green. Halverson. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Hutchings. Hunchings. Yagi. Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mader.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt, excused. Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. Gingery. Gingery. Harshman.
Excused.
Harshman, excused. Gingery.
Gingery, excused.
Gingery, excused. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Esquivel, aye. No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 26 aye, 30 no, 4 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, House Bill 30, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Madam Minority Floor Leader, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is my pleasure to introduce to all of you in the West Gallery the Leadership Cheyenne class. Please welcome them.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 48. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 48 is introduced by Representative Baker, an act relating to fishing, providing for use of artificial light or lighting devices while fishing, providing for rules and regulations, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 48, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Davis and Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Mr. Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that House or the Bill number 48 do pass. I'll turn the explanation over to the first guy on roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 48 and ask for your favorable consideration. Again, this is just allowing the game and fish to set in rules and regulations the ability to use artificial light in bodies of their choice. So if there are no questions, I'll call for the question on the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Yagi's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 48 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? No. House Bill 48 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 169. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 169, as introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to Medicaid waiver programs, repealing provision requiring case management system that is free of conflicts of interest, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 169, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 6 ayes, 3 noes, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 169 do pass, and I turn the explanation over to the fine Chairman of Transportation.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you a bill that I brought for to be heard, and it's a bill for your consideration on the case management. Anyway, last year we passed House Bill Senate File 60, and in that bill we took a choice away from the people that are handicapped and the parents and the guardians so that they no longer can choose their case management inside. Used to be we could choose inside, in-house, or out-of-house, and they took that choice away from us so we can only choose out of the program. I've worked with a case manager for 25 years, and we've tried both ways, and the in-house has worked better for us. But the thing that bothers me is that we have case managers that will be leaving the field. Some of those are going to lesser-paying jobs, and it's hard to find a case manager near or available or accessible in these small rural areas. So our in-state programs will diminish, and the services will be affected for these people. And this is the wrong plan for Wyoming. They're not looking at Wyoming's uniqueness, and I feel that this just isn't the right plan for Wyoming. And I believe that the division department can work with us and make a good program without cutting out the case managers that we already have and are happy with. Thank you.
Any debate? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am against this bill unless we amend it, and one amendment will be coming in the future. But I just want to caution that this provision was put into Senate File 60 in response to federal action, and we know how much we love that. But nonetheless, it is the case that this requirement for the conflict-free case management is in the Federal Register and is being implemented. My fear, if we pass this bill, will be that by deleting the requirement entirely from our program, then we will not be giving the department any direction, and one will assume that they will continue to follow regulation, as we would suppose that all of our departments and agencies would do, without direction from us, and the people who are having to put up with this change may find that they have to put up with it anyway. So if you feel the need to vote for this today, I won't stop you, but I do think you need to very much vote for the future amendment.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'll try and speak on the subject without getting as emotional as I did during introduction, but if I do get a little emotional, I apologize. And also I would like to say that my son is in this program, and he is affected by this. I don't believe there's any financial benefit to me, so I have not declared a conflict. If anybody thinks I should, please let me know. The reason this rule was put in makes a lot of sense. The idea is that you don't have a case manager who is taking advantage of people by saying, "Oh, you need to come to me for services," and just taking all of his all of the people he manages and putting them into a program where he benefits financially. So it was good intentions behind why this was put in law, but the reality is in Wyoming it's a very small place. And most of our providers, or most of our case managers, are also providers, because there just aren't enough people in our state to provide all the services and be case managers that we need. And if we don't pass this bill, what's going to happen is that people are no longer going to be allowed to be a case manager and to provide services. And like in my son's case,
Our former case manager is now a provider for my son. He gets some therapy services, some speech therapy, and some occupational therapy. And he gets them from his former case manager. Well, that individual is still a case manager for other individuals. So even though my son is not directly being served by his case manager, if we don't make this change, his provider will no longer be able to provide services if he remains a case manager. I received an email from someone in my county, and they're saying in our county there's about 380 individuals who are going to lose their case managers if we don't pass this bill. And to me that's terrifying, because people who are involved right in Wyoming with helping our special needs population, they do so because they care. They do so because they have a heart for these people. The gentleman that I'm speaking about, in addition to serving as a case manager and for others and providing services to my son, he's also adopted 5 special needs children of his own because he found them trapped in a system with no one to care for him. And I just hate to tell somebody like that that they can't continue to provide the love and services and take care of our disabled population, developmentally disabled population, the way that he is. I understand the intent behind this, but there's just a lot of unintended consequences. A lot of people are going to be hurt. And I just think we need to trust that parents involved in this system can make a decision for themselves and can decide whether or not they're getting fair services, and not force these regulations to take these providers away from them. So I would strongly ask for you to support this bill. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to separating case managers from clients and providers, there was a restriction in the CMS regulations that case managers could not be related to clients. In everyone I've talked to on this subject around the state, it's very difficult to find someone involved in the providing of services to developmentally disabled individuals, whether they be children or adults, that doesn't have some sort of relation to them. We directed behavioral health at the meeting last night to work with CMS to maybe come up with some waivers for this unique situation that is Wyoming, both geographically and small population that we have here. There was some exemptions given to Oregon. We're going to explore those. And hopefully CMS and Behavioral Health Department can come back with something suitable for Wyoming. But without direction from this body via the passing of this bill, Behavioral Health will not be able to do that for us. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Filer. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a little more in the conversation that we had last night with the Department of Health. As we entered into this waiver redesign, we already have in place an agreement with CMS that will not be, if we continue on with case management just as we are now, as this House bill, if passed, would continue to do. We are not in violation for a number of years, which, as a good representative from over on the other side of the state pointed out, would allow the Department of Health some opportunity to work with CMS to try and get some waivers or some exceptions. They also pointed out to us last night in their testimony that there are a number of uncertainties with these new rules that have just come out this last month, in January, that may warrant some exceptions. This perhaps could be one of them. My final point is there's also not only are the clients who are served by these case management workers affected, but in my part of the world where we've got a wonderful community-based service provider who has employed these case managers for well over 25 years, and he has a number of employees, or I should say they have a number of employees that are nearing retirement who are caseworkers, now will lose that retirement because they're forced out of that position because of this bill that we passed last year. I think that this is prudent of us to back up, to pass this bill, and I think that we can come to some reasonable resolution to correct any concerns that we might have going forward, but I'd encourage you to vote for this bill.
Representative Filer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand on this bill as a principle, and I understand it, because I've met a lot of these folks. I've been ever since I got elected here to this body, I've been on the Labor and Health Committee, and I've learned a lot about the developmental disability population, and it keeps growing, and it's finding a place in my heart, too. And last night I was against this bill coming out of committee the way it's written, for the simple fact that if we, as it's written right now, if we go ahead and repeal it, we have nothing written in session laws, we have nothing in statute anymore, and the Department of Health has free whim. I mean, they can kind of just do as they please, which will revert back most likely to the federal law, which in the federal law, I'd like to read you under CMS, under statute 441.73, Part B, conflict of interest standards. The state must define conflict of interest standards that ensure the independence of an individual and agency agents who conduct, whether as a service or administrative activity, the independent evaluation or eligibility for the state plan under the HSBC, who are responsible for the independent assessment of the need for the HCBS, who are responsible for the development of a service plan. The conflict of interest standards apply to all individuals and entities, public or private. At a minimum, these agents must not be any of the following. And this is CMS from the feds that we have to follow. One, related by blood or marriage to the individual or to any paid caregiver of the individual. Two, financially responsible for the individual. Three, empowered to make financial or health-related decisions on behalf of the individual. Four, holding financial interest as defined in statute 411.354 of this chapter in any entity that is paid to provide care for the individual. Number five, providers of state plan HCBS for the individual or those who have interest in or are employed by the provider of state plan HCBS for the individual, except when the state demonstrates that the only willing and qualified agent to perform independent assessments and develop service plans in a geographical area provides HCBS, the state devises conflict of interest protections, including separation of agent and provider functions within provider entities, which are described in the state plan for the medical assistance and approved by the secretary, and individuals are provided with a clear and accessible alternative dispute resolution process. So what that says is by CMS, when our Department of Health has to apply for these waiver funding to get our match on Medicaid, is we have to comply with that. If we don't comply with that, we could lose that funding. But it does leave things open, and that's why I'm kind of either way on this. It does leave things open with the geographical area. We can apply for a waiver. Department of Health can apply for a waiver for that geographical area, knowing that there's only one person or that could provide that service in that area. Also, I think we could maybe have something where we could have some type of a grandfather system, or some of the folks that are already getting services with a case manager maybe being able to keep their case manager. But it's something we can look at. But passing the bill the way it is right now without amending it, which I am going to bring an amendment tomorrow or on second reading, is if we pass it the way it is now, this is what we revert back to anyway, is what I just read to you, because we have nothing else. So if we're going to move forward with this, let's get this amendment out tomorrow, and let's see if we can work with that. But I'm not going to persuade either way, vote aye or no on this, but just let you know that amendment's coming. Thanks.
Any further debate? Chairman Davison, do you want to close? Or okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I love it when people stand up and say, I understand the problem. Well, buddy, I live it, and it's not understandable. But I want to say that our department has the ability to work with us and make this so that we can all be happy and our families don't have to go find a stranger to start taking care of them. And I think that our department will do that if we encourage them. And it's time we fight back a little bit with this federal government. And I think that our department has the ability to do that. Whether it's grandfathering in our existing case managers or whatever they do, but it's up to us to make this move. And I beg you to vote for this. Thank you.
Any further debate? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 169 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. House Bill 169 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 128 is introduced by Representative Halverson, an act relating to juvenile justice, providing that conditions of release from Wyoming Boys School and Wyoming School are imposed by the juvenile court and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 128, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 ayes, 1 excused, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill, Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 128 do pass, and I turn over the explanation to the good legislator from Star Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, the DFS asked us to pass this, removing the Department of Family Services as regard to imposing release conditions from the Wyoming Girls School and the Wyoming Boys School. And rather than report release conditions to the department, they suggested that law enforcement would be a more appropriate agency to hear about release conditions, and in fact it is what's happening now. So we urge your support to pass this bill removing the Department of Family Services from receiving release information from boys school and girls school and inserting the juvenile court as the receiver of this information. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Patton, did you want to speak? Okay. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to delay this, but is the juvenile court the only one that makes the assignment to the boys' school and the girls' school? I was understanding that there were other governmental units that were involved in the assignment of the girls there. The time of stay there has shortened considerably for both the boys and the girls, but particularly at the girls' school that I'm familiar with. I'd like a response to that kind of a question before a vote.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good question. This is actually when you're being released from the Wyoming Boys School and Girls School. This is actually how it's actually done on the ground. The juvenile court deals with the kid, not the Department of Family Services. And the department, the governor asked a few, I think last year, for all the departments to go through and update their statutes, and they just caught this, that it said department for some reason. The department doesn't deal with the release. The juvenile court does. So it was more just clarifying the language.
Any further debate? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 128 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 128 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63. Or did we already do that one?
House Bill 63 is introduced by Representative Kirkbride. An act relating to taxation, repealing the sunset of the exemption on the imposition of state sales and use tax on the repair of rolling stock. I'm providing for an effective date, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number three, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 63, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 ayes, 1 no, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 63 do pass. And I'd like to have the representative from District 4 explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 63 is the Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Bill. And the context, once again, there is an industry at work in Wyoming that repairs railroad cars. And the companies that need repairs can string together large numbers of cars and then readily send them to anywhere in the region where they can get the best deal. The states to the north, south, and in the, with the panhandle to the east all offer a tax exemption. And at this point, Wyoming offers a tax exemption for those services. It's been in place since 2005, but it's scheduled to sunset in 2015. So this bill will seek to remove that sunset. The industry would like to know where they stand, so we're working out here 16 months ahead of time. The bill, just on page 2, lines 7 and 8, removes exemptions for sales of goods and services in this industry, and on page 2, line 21, 22, removes the exemption or provides exemption for purchases in addition. And there's a fiscal note. It's a little over $1 million, basically. The state would give up half, and the local governments would give up half of this revenue. There are 6 facilities in 5 counties in the state. There are 200-plus workers. They work on tens of thousands of cars each year. The flagship companies doing this are located over in the southwest part of the state in the Bear River Country and up in northern Converse County in the town called William. There's also smaller businesses along the I-80 corridor and a little startup up on the shores of the Boyson Dam where they used to sell the good malts. It could mean a lot to that town. So in review, this is a significant bill, not just in how it affects the businesses, but in how it affects the communities where these businesses are. We saw documentation in the committee that for 100 workers in this industry, there are 78 and a half spin-off jobs or multiplier jobs. These are not industries or these are not jobs in the community that have to be built from the ground up. They're already there. Again, they need this exemption just to hold their own with the states around them, and we'd like to know this year where they stand. So I stand for questions, and if there are none, I will call for the question.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, and maybe I don't know if I support this bill, but I like the fact that we're not just putting the sunset date back out again. We're standing up and saying, hey, we're just going to make this an exception. But my recollection of the history on this is it was a business incentive to try to draw new business into the state and get it started, and it's what we did. And here again is another program that we continue, another subsidy for private business that we want to keep in place. I'll say this much, at least it just gets rid of the repealer.
Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the bill still. I was here in 2005 when we passed this. And at the time, actually, it was a big push to save, I remember exactly, 71 jobs in this small town. And so it was described that here 9 years later is still trying to get up and going. So I guess I'd just like, if we keep voting this through, some more information if those jobs did come and what the economic impact was, because it certainly was sold to this body 10 years ago, that it was going to provide at least 71 new jobs in a community that I never saw happen. And actually, this body, we had talked about it, and we agreed not to put a sunset on it. That was put on from the other body after this bill passed in 2005, just for memory's sake. But I do support the bill.
Any further debate? Vice Chairman Yagi?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These communities that are looking at these repairs, it's a big deal to them. I happen to live by one of those, that employs around 100 people within the city limits, a large tax incentive, revenues generated for our schools, for the city, for the county, and for the state. And in this community that I live by, you know, they have such a history of the railroads there. But this incentive does really help get a level playing field with other states that are vying for this business. These are established, and they do have some skin in the game. So I just would like to urge your support for this. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too was here in 2005. I remember this clearly because I remember the man that really wanted it camped out in the lobby for the entire session. As I remember the story, there was the one particular town in Fremont County. What he was worried about was this is such a unique skill to fix these, especially the tanker ones, that they easily go to other states and they shop for who is the cheapest. And without the sales tax exemption, there was a state in the South that was going to, everything was going to transfer to that state in the South. By us passing it back in 05, it saved it from moving. They were already existing in that particular town fixing it, and it was going to move. That was the story as I remember back in 05. Seems like a good thing to keep those jobs here, and I would urge us to support it. Representative Patton.
Am I on? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is on and for the bill to start off with, but this is one of those bills that I have seen. I've seen the creation of them, and I can't think of anything that frustrates me any more than to get talked into an exemption so that you attract an industry. Give me 5 years, and I'll put this business in place. 5 years come, if you guys don't renew that exemption, we're out of here. I really am tired of that happening, but I understand that the consequences of what happens doesn't matter to Omaha. They'll go wherever they please. But the people here in Wyoming that buy homes, have kids going to school, make a commitment to the state of Wyoming, they deserve not to be played with by virtue of this legal business and frustration. I get frustrated at 4:30, and so I'm sorry, apologize, but on and for the bill.
Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just something to think about. I kind of get tired of us picking winners and losers in certain industries. I mean, if eliminating these taxes are good for business, then why don't we just eliminate them for all businesses and not just one specific business here or there?
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising in support of this bill. I used to work at one of these outfits, the one over in the southwest corner of the state, for about 7 years. Certified welder, tank car inspector. The thing about this is it's not just about a tax break. It's about, do we want these cars repaired in Wyoming? Do we want these jobs in Wyoming? They can send these cars anywhere they want. We want them repaired in Wyoming because also we have one right out of the Trona mines in southwest Wyoming. We drop off the empty cars there on the big yellow locomotives I work on. And if those cars aren't ready to be loaded, they might need something fixed. They take it to a little place half a mile away. They fix it, and we're loading Wyoming Trona to leave our state. We don't want these jobs to leave our state. We want the workers to stay in our state. So please vote for this, and let's get rid of this exemption, or get rid of this repealer, and we'll repair cars in Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Nader.
Chairman, I rise in favor of this because we need to keep in mind the term rolling stock. These cars are easy to move. Montana has the exemption. Nebraska has the exemption. We remove it. Those cars are going to go to those states to get repaired.
Representative Freeman.
I'm interested on how I'm going. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm interested in how I'm going to vote on this. this bill because recently we exempted sales tax on large purchases in industry. And I went home and my local city, which depends on sales taxes, took me to task. I pointed out that we weren't collecting it there. We were extending it again. They started to think, well, now the 5 years, we've got them in, and they were supposed to start paying those taxes, and now they're not. I don't have an answer. I think that if we give a sales tax exemption or any exemption, we might as well make it permanent because we're in the same situation that we were in 2 years ago when we were talking about a major expansion in my area, in a soda ash area. It paid off famously for us because they did something, if I remember right, about $660 million worth of expansion, kept a lot of jobs in the area, and developed the new kinds of technology. But I really do think that if we save 5 years, we should probably think if that's enough or we should just do it permanently.
Any further debate? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 63 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 63 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for your consideration is House Bill 154. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 154 is introduced by Representative Petroff, an act relating to sales tax, providing a sales tax exemption for gratuities as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 154, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 8 aye votes, 1 no vote, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Madden.
Thank you. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 154 do pass. And I'll turn the explanation over to the Vice Chair of Revenue.
Madam Vice Chair.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned on the introduction of this bill, last year we passed a bill exempting the public from paying sales tax on a gratuity, whether the gratuity was offered by the customer or invoiced by the seller. We passed that bill in a section of the sales tax statutes dealing with food service establishments only, not really contemplating that there were other industries that do the same thing, such as guest ranches, where a gratuity is typically offered at the end of a stay or invoiced by the guest ranch at the end of the stay. So the Department of Revenue came back and helped us to draft a solution under the exemptions area of the sales tax statutes, which will apply across the board to industries and create some consistency. So it's very carefully drafted to refer to the statute dealing with tipped employees, and it's also carefully drafted in that it only exempts gratuities. So the Dude Ranches would have liked to have had an exemption on service charges. The problem with that is that service charges belong to the business and gratuities belong to the customer. Gratuities belong to the employee. And so that is, by law, gratuities belong to the employee. So we wanted to make it very clear that if it's invoiced as a gratuity, it goes to the employee, it's subject to all those sales, income taxes, and all of the employment taxes. We also charge sales tax on other types of service charges, so that would have created a lot of confusion. Anyway, this is a good solution, and I encourage your vote.
Any further debate? Seeing none, any question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 154 do pass. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 154 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 140. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 140 is introduced by Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to game and fish, dedicating a portion of complimentary antelope licenses distributed to organizations dedicated to providing hunting opportunities to individuals with disability as specified, providing for a recoupment of fees for those licenses, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Bill House 140, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 6 ayes, 1 excused, 2 conflict, signed by Representative Davis and Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Mr. Vice Chair, yay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 140 do pass, and turn the explanation of the bill over to the guy at the podium. Forgot which one he's at.
House District 4, Representative Kirkbride.
Do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 140, Complimentary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disabilities. And the story behind this bill is as follows. There is a small number of nonprofit groups in the state who provide hunts for hunters with disabilities. And they largely supply these for free. Once the hunter, often from out of state, gets to the state, then he's supplied with food and a place to hunt and transportation and perhaps a discounted motel room. So that's one thing going on. Also in statute, there is a list of 50 complimentary antelope licenses set aside for disabled hunters. But I would note that in this case, complimentary doesn't mean free. It means that they're set aside and they don't have to be drawn for, but somebody still has to pay for them. So the bill seeks to kind of join those two interests. It takes those 50 complimentary antelope licenses and gives them to this network of nonprofit hunting groups to distribute to their hunters who come in to help lessen the cost of this once-in-a-lifetime for many of these folks' experience. So that's one of the things the bill does. It makes the licenses free. And the second thing it does, it reserves 15 of the 50 licenses for hunters who are either wheelchair-bound or blind. We want to make sure that some of those folks with that high level of disability were assured of a hunt. And we did hear testimony in the committee about the time they took the blind hunter hunting, and you ought to ask the committee members about that. That's a fine story. So I stand for any questions, and if there are none, I call for the question.
Question. Any debate? Representative Stepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, just from the face of the bill, I didn't see whether are these all resident? Do non-residents get to come in and take advantage of this? Could you just address that?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kirkbride.
They can go to either residents or non-residents. They could all 50 go to one or all 50 go to the other or any combination in between.
Any further debate? Seeing none in question being called, all those in favor of Vice Chairman Yagi's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 140 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 140 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 19. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 19 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to notaries, increasing maximum fees that may be charged by notarial officers, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 19, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. There were 7 ayes, 1 no, 1 excuse, signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 19 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. I'd like to go ahead and discuss the amendment. Mr. Chairman, all we're doing there is changing the date from immediately to July 1, 2014. If there are no questions on that, I would call for the question.
Question on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Back on the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll turn it over to the Vice Chairman Zwanitzer to explain the bill.
Mr. Vice Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill raises the notary fees from $2 to $5. Currently, 32 states have $5 or higher. Another five states let individuals set their own fees, and so this is just keeping up with the times. I'd be happy to talk about everything in the bill if you really would like to. Otherwise, I would call the question.
Calling for the question, realizing that Representative Greer may have a conflict. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 19 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion carries. House Bill 19 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 20. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 20 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety, authorizing collection of fees for plan inspection or review for school buildings and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 20, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were eight ayes, one excuse. Signed by Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 20 do pass. And I defer to Representative Petroff for explanation.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this bill is pretty simple right now, that it's actually school facilities that are doing these inspections rather than the department. And so this has been listed as a budget footnote for the last several years. And so appropriations actually came to us and asked us to fix the statute so they wouldn't have to keep putting it in the footnotes. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any debate? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Berger's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 20 do pass, please signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 20 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. House Bill 13, recommended do pass. House Bill 14, recommended do pass. House Bill 15, recommended do pass. House Joint Resolution 5, recommended do pass. House Bill 145, recommended do pass. House Bill 127, recommended do pass. House Bill 135, recommended do pass. House Bill 104, amended. Recommended do pass. House Bill 98, amended as follows. Recommended do pass. House Bill 61, amended. And, let's see, yes. Yeah, failed. There we go. House Bill 72, amended. Recommended do pass. House Bill 11, amended. And further amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 21, amended. Recommended do pass. House Bill 88, amended. Did I miss it? What? Oh. The presiding officer declared that a majority of the elected members of the House had voted in the affirmative, recommended do pass. House, House Bill 102, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 106, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 95, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 37, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 123, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 36, recommended do pass. House Bill 62, recommended do pass. House Bill 12, recommended do pass. Let's see. House Bill 73, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 155, recommended do pass. Let's see here. Amended, recommended do pass, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. House Bill 178, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 146, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 30, the bill was indefinitely postponed. House Bill 48, recommended do pass. House Bill 169, recommended do pass. House Bill 128, recommended do pass. House Bill 63, recommended do pass. House Bill 154, recommended do pass. House Bill 140, recommended do pass. House Bill 19, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 20, recommended do pass. And signed by Representative Crone as chairman.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Representative Crone. The Committee of the Whole report is adopted. Fellow members of the 62nd, let me give you a roadmap for the rest of the evening and then an outline for tomorrow, just so that we know where we're going. We'll go back in to do bills on third reading and final passage for House Bill 35. As you'll recall, we had an irregularity where it was not referred to the Appropriations Committee. Then we made the motion to refer it to the Appropriations Committee, and then it came back out on third reading pursuant to that motion. Then we'll do the reading of standing committee reports to read in all the bills so that we have all of the bills out on general file so that we can consider them tomorrow, and then we'll do committee announcements. And that will be tonight. Tomorrow we will have 37 bills on second reading. Those will be the 37 bills that we passed this morning. Then, because the budget is a nice work of art that we keep working on, we will have 40 to 45 budget amendments on the depending on how many get turned in later tonight. They're 30 numbered right now, and there's another 20 out there maybe. So we'll have 40 to 45 budget amendments tomorrow, and then we will have 27 bills on general file. It's the majority floor leader's intention to get to as many bills as we possibly can and try to hear every bill and give it an opportunity to be heard. With 40 to 45 budget amendments, we're going to have to fly tomorrow. But that would be the plan. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just rise to a question. If the bills that are reported out of committee tonight at tonight's committee meetings, are they not eligible for to be read in tomorrow for consideration on general file?
They'll be read in tomorrow and be on general
file.
Okay,
thank you.
So with that, we're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The only bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill 35 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to the legislature establishing the Select Committee on Transfer of Public Land as specified, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 35 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
No.
Filer.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay. Gay.
Excuse.
Gay excused. Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Two.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Excused.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hutchings, no to aye. Madden. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 7 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 35, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 35 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of reading of standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 121, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, and Crone. Those who voted no, Representatives Baker, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. House Bill 177 from Representative Miller, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom referred House Bill 177, Federal Lands Tax Lien, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt. Those who voted no, Representatives Connolly and Gingery, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 21, Engrossed, Endowment Challenge Program, State Funds Inviolate, respectfully reports same back to the House Bill with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 27, Engrossed, Endowment Challenge Program Fees, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 15, Engrossed, Community College Major Maintenance, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Esquivel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, one excused, Representative Burkhart, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 50, Engrossed, State Minors Health Coverage, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Esquivel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, signed by Representative Moniz, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 54, reports to the legislature, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Esquivel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, Representative Burkhart was excused, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 70, engrossed, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobel, Harshman, Muniz, Nicholas, Stebson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 93, Shipment of Wine, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Swanitzer, signed by Dan Swanitzer, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 148, Limited Partnership and Certificates, respectfully report same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, Dan Swanitzer, and signed by Dan Swanitzer, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 156, Brewery and Microbrewery Licenses and the Definitions, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Mader, Paxton, Petroff, and Dan Swanitzer, signed by Dan Swanitzer, Vice Chairman.
We are at that order of business of committee announcements. Chairman Gingery. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. We have some messages from the Senate. I'm sorry, Chairman Gingery.
Message number 150. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 28, Post-Conviction Actual Innocence, Eyes 28, Nose 2, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 151. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 66, the Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Eyes 30, Nose 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 152. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 67, Administrative Rules, Streamlining, Ayes 30, Noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 153, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 68, Obsolete Laws, Ayes 30, Noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 154, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 71, Reversion of Appropriations, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 155. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 75, Environmental Protection Agency Actions 2. Ayes 30, Noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 156. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 76, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct. Ayes 27, Noes 3, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 157. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 92, WCCC Director Ex Officio Memberships, 2, Ayes 30, Noes 0, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 158. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate in the third reading by the vote indicated. Senate Joint Resolution number 1, Regulation of Carbon Dioxide Emissions, Ayes 29, Noes 1, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File Number 72, Burglary, Eyes 14, Nose 16, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
With that order of business at committee announcements. Now, Chairman Gingrey, I'm sorry, from before.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to take up Senate File 9, Probation and Parole Agent Arrest Authority, and Senate File 29, Supervised Probation of Misdemeanants.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number four, Education, will meet immediately upon adjournment tonight to consider House Bill 113, 114, and 124.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine, Minerals, Minerals, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H18 to hear Senate File 41, Select Federal Natural Resources Management Committee, and Senate File 43, Prioritization of Municipal Solid Waste Facility Projects.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes after noon recess tomorrow, Friday, February 21st, in room H17 to hear Senate File 51, Workers' Compensation Coverage.
Vice Chairman Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock to consider two bills, number 38, Hunter Safety Exemption, and Senate File 46, State Parks ATM Donations.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number eight, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment tonight to hear two bills, House Bill 115, Determination of Highway Right-of-Ways of Federal Lands, Senate File 60, Bin Inspection Authority, Game and Fish, and we will not hear Senate File 58 engrossed. We will not.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until tomorrow, Friday, February 21 at 9 o'clock a.m. You have heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
House is adjourned until tomorrow, February 21st, 2014 at 9 a.m.